It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, you know, last week we had Mr. Bill Carey on with us, and we were talking about an upcoming topwater striper fishing trip that I went on with my grandson Luke Zimmerman and our buddy Jeff Rice. We had that plan. We talked all about what to expect. I thought it was interesting, you know, to hear the planning of a guided fishing trip. Hear what goes in, the questions you ask. And Bill Carey with Striper Express, you know, he was with me. We kind of set the stage. Well, I've been there. We did just exactly as predicted, caught a ton of topwater stripers. Now, Bill is with us today, and I thought we would have a post-fishing trip topwater striper little segment here and let all of you know what the striper fishing is really like right now at Texoma. Bill, thank you for listening to this lengthy intro, but I had an awesome time up there with you, buddy.
Well, good morning, Luke, and all y'all out in radio land.
They're listening with bated breath, Bill, all of them from the Panhandle down to Southeast Texas and all over. They want to know about the striper fishing at Texoma, and I thought, what better way than just come right off of a trip 2 days ago, you know, and share the trip with them on our little segment here. We fished with Chris Carey, who is Bill's son, and Chris, I don't know, he was born to be a striper fisherman, and he learned he is an awesome fishing guide. I don't, you know, those accolades, I mean it. He is one awesome fishing guide. I told Bill, I didn't let Chris hear this, but I told Bill, I said, your son thinks like a striper, you know. And Bill nodded. He said, Bill, you said, yeah, I saw that at an early age. And it is true. We caught him on topwaters. And there's no more fun, Bill, than catching those things on topwater, you know?
Oh, man. Topwater striper fishing, it is the ultimate, folks. It's just, you know, we're blind casting.
Yeah.
These aren't the traditional surfacing fish in the summer. This is hitting the shallow banks early. We talked about the zooplankton last week and how it comes in with the bait and the fish follow. And you cast, and any time your hook is in the water, you're in the strike zone.
We pulled up, Bill, I'll paint the stage, folks. We stayed at Mill Creek Resort right there within walking distance of the dock. Nice cabin. I advise that if you live, you know, a couple hours away, get your cabin and spend the night. So we settled in, got a good night's sleep, and I watched the radar, Bill, and it was supposed to come through somewhere between 2 and 4. Well, it came through just at the break of day, so we postponed maybe 30 minutes, but we got out there and made a pretty good run to a shoreline where Chris had been fishing the day before. And we laughed a little bit. I said, you know, we're covering a lot of water to get to one spot. And he says, yeah, Dad, you always told me. He said, we're passing a lot of stripers, but he said, you wait till we get to this place. Well, they were there. And you mentioned blind casting, Bill. That's exactly what it is. I mean, you're not targeting a bait fish pop in the water. You're not targeting a roll of a striper. You're just throwing up out from the boat in an area where they have been heavy numbers of them, aren't you?
Oh, yes, sir. You know, skinny water, we call it, shallow. They're in there for one reason. You get an hour to an hour and a half of it, depending on the cloud cover.
Yep.
And it's a blast, isn't it? This was there, folks. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Folks, we are on I'm back at the studio, and Bill's on the dock, so we are visiting via cell phone with you. And if there's, you know, that's the nature of our beast here that we have to deal with. So our reception is pretty good, Bill. I think all of our friends will be able to stay with us and hear this. But I will say, Luke, my 22-year-old grandson, he caught right off the bat the biggest one. We didn't measure it or we didn't weigh it, but it was a good striper. Caught it right off the bat. And it was one of those, the topwater baits that I had never seen one. A choppa, it's a Berkeley bait, I think, Bill.
Yes, sir. Yeah, choppa. Berkeley makes that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, I had never seen it. It has a, In a way, it reminded me of a tiny torpedo, except the spinner, the little blade, kind of like the rudder on a boat, in a way, was in the back of this bait. And when you pull it along the surface, it created one heck of a – it moved a lot of water. And you could hear it and you could see it. But that's the bait that that Luke caught the first one on. And as you predicted, Bill, we stayed right there in that area. I won't say – Chris has got a deal. If somebody gets close, he's out of there. He's going to plan B. So we moved, not far, but we moved around a couple of times. But every time we stopped and started blind casting, somebody would hook up. So we caught some nice ones. No, what I call dinks, like, you know, years ago. I mean, these were all solid stripers, Bill.
They were. I think little Luke's fish would go about 10 pounds.
Okay, that's what we kind of estimated, you know. Kind of guessed that. And so anyway, the action did slow after the – it never got really sunny, but it, you know, up in the morning there, we were there probably an hour and a half. And then we headed to Plan B and had some sassy shad, you know, jig heads with the rubber, soft plastic body there. And this was kind of surprising to me. We went to the back of a bay. Of course, I can't name, I don't know exactly where we were, but 2 foot water, 2 to 3 foot of water. And Chris let the boat, started shutting it down out there about the mouth of that little bay, a little big cove is what it was. And it deep water out there, but it was 2 to 3 foot deep. And just let the boat drift up in there, and we started blind casting again. He told us to make long casts. Well, this time we were using those sassy shad. It was roving schools, no mass concentration, but you know, like he says, stripers like friends, and it would always seem like when we caught one, we'd catch two, you know, or three. So we did that for a good bit, Bill, using the sassy shed, and the technique was not working along the bottom, and technique was everything. That's the first thing I ask a guide. Is what? How do they want it today? You know, and that's key, folks. If you're fishing wherever you're fishing, that those words, how do they want it today, are very important. And Chris gave us a demo: make a long cast, let it hit bottom, make sure you contact bottom, pump it up with a pretty good sweep of the rod, crank down as you go to so you'll feel it, because some of those strikes were coming on the slack end of the cast. And then just keep working it back to the boat. And that, you know, Bill, that was the technique. I don't know if that works every day, but that's what was the way the stripers wanted the baits 2 days ago, you know?
Yes, sir. You know those old fish, they'll fight you to the finish, won't they?
Oh, yeah. They're battling all the way up to the boat. Now, I'm going to get into how I cook some of these very fresh stripers. You saw some pictures of them, Bill, on Facebook.
Oh,
I
yes,
think
sir.
Oh my gosh. But anyway, the pattern, you know, the pattern of top waters early while they are up shallow, how long would you think that this will, is there a way to predict how long it would last?
Well, we'll do it for the rest of the month. We've been doing it since the first of the month, and then we've got about a 15-day, and they are still, you know, they're coming back from spawning. They're grouping up in large schools, and they will start the slab run about next week, 1st of June. Mm-hmm. And then, by mid-month, they're going to be surfacing, and that's your traditional busting out in open water. They push that shad to the surface, and they splash, and you can see them for miles.
Well, I want to reserve a talk to you ahead about making a plan to be back there. That's our next pattern, and get back up there. Would that be your sassy shad or slab, lead slab deal?
Well, what we do then is you go out first light, and the guide will be driving up on plane slow, and he'll just be looking 360 degrees to look for the splashes, and they'll be in huge schools, folks. I mean, it'll amaze you. They can be a half a mile long and a quarter mile wide. They're running one direction. So you get in front of them, and you throw these topwaters, and you let the whole school pass you, and you make a big loop to get back to them, and then you just keep throwing these topwaters for another hour, maybe an hour and a half, and they're going to sound. but they will stay grouped up in large schools. So that's when we drop the slabs. And okay. A slab, folks, is a lead spoon.
Yep. So now that's what I wrote about that years ago. I think maybe one of the first times years ago when I fished with you guys, and I named it the leapfrog deal. That's when they make those, say, down around Eisenhower, down the lower lake. Is that what we're talking about when those schools run, I don't know, for miles, Bill?
You betcha.
And then you get ahead of them and just be on station and be ready. And then,
yeah, if you mind your manners, you got to watch the other people because, schooling fish means schooling boats.
and it's hard to, just get ahead of them. But that school, depending on the size of the school, it may come through for, as I remember, for, 15 minutes. Then it'll stop. Your action, there will be a lull. And at that time, you fire up. And being there every day, you guys know their routes, don't you? You know which way to, where to go to intercept them on the next, fishing period, right?
Yes, sir. And traditionally, we'll have three large schools work the lake, and that helps spread out the boats. We'll have one up washed off, we'll have one down by the dam, and we'll have one closer to our marina. So that makes it nice when you can spread out all these boats, because it's very exciting fishing. It's so fun.
For sure. Bill, we could talk for about 3 hours and not cover everything I want to cover. I want to do a little bragging, though. The rods and the reels, and I asked Chris, the six gill fishing, it had that on the emblem on all the rods and the reels, and that includes spinning rigs that Luke was fishing with, and then I like to fish with a bait caster, and the rest of us were using bait casters. I talked to Chris about those. I'd never used them, Bill, but the reels were just smooth as silk. And I'm not going to quote any prices, and this is not a commercial, folks, but I want you to know about the company is Six Gill. They make lures, but the rods and the reels is what impressed me, Bill. The price. Yeah, the price, too. You bet. Well, folks could go online, learn about the rod and reels that you guys use, and I guess it's SIX, Six Gill.
Yes, sir.
Gill. sixgillfishing.com, I believe it is.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Easy to find on Google. But I thought I'd throw that in there. Those are some awesome reels and rods. And as a matter of fact, you always need a new rod and reel. Everybody does. I'm planning on getting me one of those. Bill, folks can come up there with you, and they stay there at Mill Creek. And they are telling me I am over our time. StriperExpress.com, right, Bill?
Yes, sir, Ree. And our phone number is 903-786-4477.
Folks, again, that number up at Striper Express is 903-786-4477. But you can easily find Striper Express Guide Service on Facebook or StriperExpress.com. They are all over the place. Been there for 36 years, I believe, now, Bill told me. Folks, I want you to know how much I enjoy bringing this little show to you each week and how much I appreciate you listening. We've been doing it now here on KETR for, about 8 or 9 years, something like that, and I enjoy it as much today as when we began. If you ever want to contact me, catfishradio.org, the website there, you can go to catfishradio.org, and there's an email Luke right there on the site. Folks, today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Air Force Air Guns, Smoke in Tex Electric Smokers, Sitemark, Texas-raised hunting products, Pyramid Air, Striper Express up on Lake Texoma, Mill Creek Ranch Resort at Canton, United Country Texas Landmark Properties, the best of Texas barbecue sauce, and Nielsen Specialty Ammo.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.